How do we get from an Olympic gold medal winning Nigerian centre back who is best remembered for his various unusual and colourful hairstyles to a former England international striker who has been described as a blunt instrument with which to bludgeon defences?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers. It's great to have you with us, and I am Dave, and my friend and yours, Josh Cool, is at the other end of the internet, I guess. I was going to say line. It's probably not a direct line going from my house to yours. That'd be weird.
The internet just got two ends. It's very simple. Yeah.
It's like one of those can-to-can lines that you've got, like from house to house. So just what it just says internet on it, one big cable. Yeah. So how are you, sir? How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've been in Wales for the weekend.
Wales. What brought that tragedy on? Why'd you have to go there?
A friend of my wife's, we visited the family, just beyond Cardiff. So I did go to Cardiff yesterday, saw the Principality Stadium, which was known as...
Millennium, I guess.
Yes, Millennium Stadium, big stadium. Doesn't hold football anymore, though.
Oh, too big, is it?
Too big for the Welsh national team. Yeah, it's like 75,000-seater.
75, I guess... I guess it would have been sold out for old school league and FA Cup games.
Yeah, in the Wembley redevelopment era. Yeah, with Michael Owen two goals. I remember one of the goals when he scored, because I think it was like 70th minute. It was like 1-0 Arsenal. This has got to be what, mid 2000s, early 2000s.
Yeah, I think early
2000s. Yeah, 2004. I'm going to guess something like that. And Michael Owen then scores. But I remember one of the goals was like a running through on goal, probably edge of the box, left foot to strike across Seaman. Ooh. I don't remember his other goal, but it was definitely two. Do you remember his other goal?
No, I don't. I've just got an image of Michael Owen wearing a very baggy, yellowy gold and black top. Is how I picture him.
Oh yeah.
Wearing it and scoring the goals. Was it a chip? One on one little dink.
That's something for us to fill our evenings with after we've recorded this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It's something that we can do there. But let's get on. Let's get on to the podcast, Josh. Let's go straight into it. So, colourful hairstyles, unusual hairstyles, Olympic gold medal, Nigerian centre-back. You've picked Taribo West.
Why not? Why haven't I? Why shouldn't I?
Well, I was more hoping you would tell us why you have picked him rather than why shouldn't you.
I think I picked him because he's in a bit of an enigma. And do you know what? His Wikipedia page doesn't do much to decipher that. And straight away, so hopefully everybody's, there's some people maybe, they've listened to this and they go onto the Wikipedia pages we're talking about. Okay, you're going to, we need a name for this top right section. Is it the stats section? Is it the summary section? Play a summary.
Well, stats summary. Again, it leads us nicely onto some actions we do need to talk about. I don't think we can give it a name until the Mario Jardel things. It's not a summary, is it? Because it's not including all stats for Brazilians. We figured this.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, action's outstanding. Mario Jardel, Brazilian statist outstanding. And last week's pod had two outstanding actions. They're still outstanding. So we had Morten Gamst-Pedersen. We had the Golden Watch.
Yeah.
I need to elaborate on the Golden Watch. If you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to last week's episode. And there's also Morten Gamst-Pedersen, Return to Norway, is another section. They're both outstanding. I blame Wales. I blame the Principality Stadium.
Yeah.
But we'll no doubt have more actions to add to that. And I think maybe at the end of this episode, we'll have a look at the actions and divvy them up, because I'm clearly not the best at actioning things. Dave, you're on it. You're really diligent.
Josh, I'm not even going to wait till the end. I'll take the Return to Norway section off you for Gamst-Pedersen and try and get it done.
Okay, great. I've still got the Golden Watch. I like to hear it.
Yeah, it's what friends do. I'll help you out, but you still keep the two hardest ones that you got to do.
Yeah, so. The one which hasn't moved in 4 weeks. Yeah. I've still got that. Yeah,
exactly. So that's the actions. But yes, so why did you pick Taribo West, other than being a bit of an enigma and his page being an enigma? Talk us through a little bit about Taribo West.
Okay, so we have a man who had an early career which has got four clubs with no stats on. Okay, so he started his career, he was Nigerian, started at the Obanta United, but it seemed like he was discovered there, and then he moved on to play for the Sharks. Just Sharks. Not the Sharks, just Sharks. Which doesn't really help. Now, this is all quite young, so maybe we'll get on this because it's one of the sections later on. But born in 1974, he was recruited to play for the Sharks professionally 1989-1990, so 15-16.
Yeah.
Quite young, you'd say.
Yeah, that is quite young.
Yeah. But we'll get onto that, why that might not be as young as we think later on. So we got a very holy for early career. So it's really, we'll start talking when he goes to France, Auxerre. He spends 4 years with Auxerre, and that's where it's kind of first club, first honours. He played there, I'd like to think, he played, and there's a team where, because he played with Laurent Blanc. So Laurent Blanc, Toribio West, centre defence. That's a nice little slow. Don't get me wrong, very slow.
Yeah.
Or was this Laurent Blanc when he was in his midfield days?
Oh, it could be, yeah. It could be.
But he won his first title there. They won the cup. So they won the double in the season. So next year, they got to play in the Champions League. So Toribio West had a little foray into the Champions League in the 96-97 season. And I think that it seems to be that kind of exposure led to him signing for the... Well, he's signed for both Milan clubs, Inter first, and then Milan second. They don't care. They don't care.
They don't care, do they? They just don't care. It comes up a lot in this podcast. They don't care. You can play for both of them. No one minds. No pig's heads thrown at you over in Italy.
No. No, Inter was more of a notable stint. So a couple of years at Inter, it also had another honour. So he won the 97-98 UEFA Cup, which is against Lazio. He did get sent off in the final, but all was done and dusted at that point. It's kind of 80th minute sending off, it seems. So, but we have a clickable link with the final there, just thrown out there.
Okay.
It's the UEFA Cup final. We love that stuff.
We do love that stuff, yeah. We do love it.
So two seasons there, he went, moved to Milan. Not quite sure why it happened. He played four times. It mentions at a point he played no times during the season, like in the league or something like that. It's like, oh dear. I think it's just, there's a few sections where we go on where it seems like maybe Toribio West isn't the easiest to deal with.
Right, okay.
Milan loaned him to, I mean, where else do you go? If you're at Milan, you get loaned to Derby County.
Classic, classic step.
Classic, textbook. And he actually has, there's a nice little write-up there. It's quite a good section. But he played a number of games. He helped them avoid relegation. He actually mentions the points they got when he was in the side. So as Derby won 31 out of their 42 points with him in the lineup. So he was quite prominent there. But then this, what I mentioned earlier, he eventually left the club because of his international commitments. Because AFCON at that point was in the middle of seasons. Maybe there's something there which he wanted to be part of the African nations.
Yeah.
Because that would have been the 01-02 season next. And there's a 2002 AFCON, which we'll touch on later. But he leaves Derby County. We then moves to Kaiserslautern in the Bundesliga. It's not really much. He played 10 games. He left due to a total disagreement.
Wow.
Doesn't say in terms of contract, in terms of playing style, in terms of, just a total disagreement.
Everything.
He then, intriguingly, he went on to have a trial. So he trained with Manchester City for 10 days in 2002. That was all pre money. That would have been.
I was thinking, is that pre Shinawatra?
Yeah, that's going to be like with Stuart Pearce in charge and David James up front, that kind of era, isn't it?
What an era for football, yeah.
They define that era in those terms, don't they?
Yeah, I think so.
The David James up front era, yes. But failed to get a contract due to lack of fitness. Another good time in his career, and it's not really very many, maybe his time in Nigeria was really good because then they had lots of appearances, because, just spoiler, the league appearances that Wikipedia's got is 169 league appearances. That's really not very many. For someone who didn't have any major injuries, it's really low. It's kind of second choice goalkeeper low.
Yeah,
it is. Isn't it? But he moves to Partizan Belgrade. And he is managed there by Lothar Matthäus, which is an interesting link. Yeah, it's interesting. They play in the Champions League again. He's described as one of the most influential players, won the league. That's about as good as it got for him at that point. It then goes downhill. We have time in Qatar. Plymouth Argyle, we play in Iran. One of the most enjoyable bits of his page is he then claimed to have joined Jerez in Spain, but the club's president denied his claim, saying he hadn't any knowledge of a player's arrival.
That's amazing. That's Peter Odemwingie levels of transfer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Blimmin' hell.
And so we have 169 league appearances for Toribio West. We have a lot of different clubs. But then even his Nigeria caps aren't through the roof. In my head, I'd have thought you'd be kind of Rigobert Song levels. 100 caps. Look, it's 42 caps. No goals.
It's nothing.
there's a lot of myth around Trevor West, it seems, because he was at a time he was a free transfer on, was it Champ Manager 102?
Champ Manager 102, free transfer, one of the best defenders in the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know, so that would fit in when the game was released, which would have been just after AC Milan?
Yeah, he definitely had some Milan pedigree at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but internationally, so he had some success. He obviously won the gold at the 96 Olympics, played in the 1998 World Cup, runner-up in the 2000 AFCON, played in the 2002 AFCON, the international commitments, so we aforementioned.
Yeah.
And also in the 2002 World Cup, which I think we need to remember, okay?
Okay.
2002 World Cup. Just earmark that. Okay. Circle that. What's becoming a favourite section of mine is, not many players have this, but style of play.
I've got a crack in one of them coming up later.
Have you? You've got a good one. Okay. So we have style of play for Trevor West, to give everybody a flavour of Trevor West. Primarily a centre-back, West was a physically commanding and powerful defender, although he lacked significant pace. West was known for his ball-winning abilities, commitment, and hard-tackling style of play, as well as his forward-surging runs. Yeah?
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that sounds like a pretty good centre-back, I'd say.
I mean, the forward-surging runs would worry me a little bit, especially if he was next to Laurent Blanc, both of them wanting to bring the ball out from the back, potentially.
Yeah. But, and yes, the lack of recovery pace. I think he might get stranded up the pitch.
Yeah, but I would agree. That sums him up to be a very competent centre-back, reading that.
We have a couple of personal life sections. So we have religion and belief. He's a devout Christian. He became a pastor. But the age controversy, should I say, is where I alluded to earlier. So it was reported that West and other Nigerian internationals such as JD Okocha, Nwankwo Kanu, Obafemi Martins were much older than they claimed to be. I don't think it's any secret. I mean, if people followed football for the last kind of 10, 15 years, that's been a common rumour. Celestine Babayaro isn't mentioned there, but there's rumours of him as well. Obafemi, you just have to look at their peaks of their career, and it doesn't quite tie with other peaks of comparable players' careers. And the Partizan Belgrade secretary is quoted here saying that West is 12 years older than his claimed age. Shortly afterwards, West denied the accusation. Well, obviously denied, but 12 years seems a bit steep.
Yeah, I mean, can you not, like, you know, cut his leg off, count the rings like you do for a tree, something like that?
Because 12 years old mean he's, say we look at Inter, say that maybe at peak, he joined them in 97, which would have been 23 in his kind of written down age, but that would have been 35.
Yeah.
It seems a little bit steep, but hey, who am I to say? But it's a slight tarnish, but, you know, he's had a glamorous career in places, played for a lot of clubs, won a few things. So honours, we've got obviously the Inter's UEFA Cup that I mentioned, we've got the Partizan Belgrade League, we've got the Olympic Games, runner-up in the AFCON, and then the League and Cup double in with France. So that's a nice little career, nice few honours. Trevor West, everybody.
Nice. No, I mean, I say nice. I can't really... You're right, it's an enigma of a page. You can't really read anything into it. It's very... Is it matter of fact? Is that how we could describe it? It's very much, who he played for and what he did.
I think you'd need to actually do some proper research and get some records here, because you want to complete the sections. So you can't have Auxerre as his first stats, because he must have played loads of games before 1993.
I'm just wondering, is 1989 to 1992 Nigerian football not very well documented and records have been lost or things like that? You can imagine it, can't you? You can imagine it. Like, maybe someone was accused of match fixing or age tampering across Nigeria, so they just maybe burnt all the files.
Dave throwing some big accusations around.
It's not accusations, it's just scenarios.
So, scenario modelling, okay.
Yeah.
I think, so maybe we won't get the first 4 years of his career filled out, but there's a real section there, the Qatar stint 04-05, Al Arabi, it's blank. That, surely we can do something there. Surely there's something we can find.
We can raise an action. We can have a look, can't we? We can have a look.
The action would be to inquire.
Yeah, I think
I'm not saying we're definitely going to complete that.
Yeah, I don't think there's. It might not be one we can say that's definitively closed, or we do, but we'll inquire. Yeah, it's more. It's an inquiry, not an action. It's an inquiry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Yeah. We've got to get from Taribo West, your pick, to my pick, and I generally go. I generally get my picks in early, Josh, don't I? I get them.
You do.
I get them to you. I'm not going to lie. Generally sitting on the toilet. Something football related will come to my mind and I'll text you it straight off the bat. I won't look at the page. I won't look at to think about it. It will just be a straight, oh yeah, that could be interesting. I'll text Josh as that as my that's going to be my page where we've got to start or finish. And today it's Emil Heskey. Divisive figure in football in terms of fans appreciation and what he's done and for I think England especially is where it
England
was
especially yeah I think fans of the clubs that he played for speak fondly of him.
I think so, yeah. I think well that's a great segue, Josh, because speaking fondly of him, I'm pretty sure someone that knows him, a relative, an agent, maybe Heskey himself, might have written this page. It's very, very positive about, which is fine. I was a fan of Emil Heskey, and I know I'm probably in the minority. Sorry, in that, but I'll give you some snippets of this page because it's a very wordy page. It's a very wordy page, and I want you to count how many of these things I list off you can agree with about Emil Heskey. Okay, remember how he played for England and Liverpool, Villa, Birmingham. Heskey played as a striker, being a mobile yet powerful target man, gifted with pace, physical strength and an ability to utilise his height to win aerial challenges. He was also an intelligent and hard-working player, known for his movement and athleticism. His play was likened to a blunt instrument with which to bludgeon defences. His main contributions to the team lied in the way he held the ball up with his back to goal and drew defenders out, leaving space behind for another player to score. He was credited as being an unselfish player who would link up well with other players, create space or chances for teammates, allowing other forwards to benefit. Got a count there of how many things?
It's a handful. Now, it's probably a little bit more, but they're things I might briefly think of for Emil Heskey, but I wouldn't be brave enough or have enough conviction to go, this is your style of play, this is what I remember you for. They're like, well, yeah, he was, yeah, he'd hold the ball up, but I wouldn't say I was excellent at it. Or is that, there's things that we think, oh, yeah, you probably did that, but not to that level where I'm thinking I'm going to shout out you here for how great this is.
Yeah, that's overly positive. I mean, I appreciated Heskey for what he could do for the England team, and I do think he got the best out of other strikers. But I think there was plenty of other players that probably could have done that as well for England at the time. There's a lot of things around it about it's trying to basically say, well, he couldn't score goals, but he created space for other people to score.
That was always
the
criticism, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did not score enough goals. And as always with a player, I've gone down to his career statistics section and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of, I mean, did he really have, I don't think he really had an injury, did he? He's often ever present. We've got, started with Premier League debut in 94-95, but must have been as a youngster. I'm saying maybe even last game of the season, Leicester relegated, because next season he's playing in Division 1. And he's with them. He scores, back-to-back 10-goal seasons when they come up, which this is going to be Martin O'Neill era as well, isn't it, I'd imagine.
Yeah,
we've got, you know, 4 seasons in the Premier League proper. We have kind of 4 seasons with Liverpool as a mixture. I must have signed in January for Liverpool. It's just, it's such low numbers, isn't it? It's our first season proper for Liverpool is as good as it gets, isn't it? 14 league goals, 22 in all competitions. But there's really some poor numbers.
He's not about the goals, Josh. He's not about the goals. It's about what else he brought. How many goals did Michael Owen score because of Emil Heskey?
Because of him, yeah.
Like, and I know. It's why it's so divisive, is because it's, you, there aren't stats for how many runs someone else could make off a flick, or I guess an assist. That would be a good stat. But like,
good stat would be an assist. But it's not the assists, it's the space created.
Exactly, yeah. There's no stat for that. Well, there probably is nowadays, but there wasn't back then.
Yeah.
Like, it's just very interesting. You know, he was held in high regard by both England under-21 manager Peter Taylor and England and Liverpool teammate Michael Owen. Veteran Liverpool striker Ian Rush approved the signing when he moved to Liverpool, noting that Heskey would give Liverpool a different dimension, bringing strength to the Liverpool strike force, complementing Owen and Robbie Fowler's pacey play. There's a lot of chat about stuff like that on the page, which is just listing off okay, he brought all these other people into play. And it's like, yeah, he did, but yeah. Anyway, a question. What whilst we stop? Not bash. I'm not bashing Emil Heskey. I appreciate Emil Heskey. But a question for you. What do you... I say Emil Heskey. First memory that comes into your head.
Baggy shirt.
A baggy shirt. Not... And Heskey makes it 5 as England beat Germany 5-1.
There's a little knockdown he does for someone. You know, I was actually going to make a little headed knockdown for someone.
It's Stevie G, isn't it? He knocks it
Stevie
down.
G's,
Stevie G's rocket from the edge of the box. Yeah, I think Heskey knocks it down. And then, yeah, Heskey made it 5. And this was accompanied by his DJ goal celebration, a celebration he popularised. Yeah, that one. We're both doing it on camera now. Yeah, that one. I did like Emil Heskey. The stats are woefully bad. I mean, yeah, 633 appearances, 130 goals. That is pretty, pretty woeful. But, you know, clubs he's played for. Leicester, Premier League, Liverpool, Premier League, Birmingham, Premier League, Wigan, Premier League, Villa, Premier League, Newcastle Jets in the Australian Premier League, Bolton Wanderers, Championship, I think. So he's never played below the second division in English football. Like, he must have been doing something right for all those managers.
Yeah, we've had players on a podcast previously where we've almost criticised them for a bit of a filler season. We had, literally last week, Morten Gabbs-Pedersen, like 20 of his goals, something like that, was scored in the second or third division in Norwegian football, wasn't it? And we're going, oh, that's not real numbers. But you look, I do quite like his first two clubs, Leicester, 150 odd appearances, 40 odd goals, Liverpool, 150 odd appearances, 40 odd goals. It's quite nice. He's done similar things, which, I mean, doesn't say great things about his Liverpool career because they're a step up. But it really does dwindle. Villa time. I think it was a bleak time for Villa, but 1 in 10 he's getting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a part in his... It might be in his style of play, again, where it tries to justify it. I'm struggling to... Oh, yeah, this is it. Although primarily a forward, he was also used in a more withdrawn role on occasion during his time with Aston Villa, functioning as an attacking midfielder whose role was to link up the midfield with the attack, or even as a central midfielder. I don't remember that.
What?
No,
that guy has not got it in the locker to be centre mid or linking the attack. No. I would say he's seemingly quite a professional guy because he made an appearance for England B in 1998 in the midst of his England career. So in his international appearances, he made 5 appearances for England in 2008 and also England B. That's a bit harsh.
There is a very good positive we can take on this page, Josh. There's no actions because literally everything is covered. Everything is covered in this page.
We could dumb it down.
Yeah, a lovely little fact on here. When he scored for Bolton Wanderers, he was assisted by 36-year-old Idiger Johnson, which is fun.
Oh,
it was
my
a 30, 36-year-old to 36-year-old, I think it is the stat they have on here, which is very, very impressive under Bolton Wanderers for a Bolton Wanderers strike force of Idiger Johnson and Emil Heskey. But yeah, I mean, youth career, international career, it's all listed there. I'm not going to go through it. We do have representation for the England senior team, 2002 World Cup, Euro 2004, 2006 World Cup qualification, 2008 qualification, 2010 World Cup qualification, and the 2010 FIFA World Cup. There was a little mm-hmm in there from you through the middle of that. 2002 World Cup?
2002 World Cup.
This could be a very short episode.
Over in South Korea and Japan?
Yes, it was.
Hold on, let's go down. He's got 7 international goals. He has scored at the World Cup. Yes, he scored his 4th goal for England. It was at the Niigata Stadium in Niigata, Japan, against Denmark in the 2002 FIFA World Cup. Yes, so South Korea and Japan.
There you go. So that could be a way in to find Emil Heskey.
What has Heskey won? Let's have a look at what he's won.
I just thought of something from Taribo West Page. This could be the quickest podcast ever, if we wanted it to be. Because
in
the 2002 FIFA World Cup, our group stage was England, Nigeria, Denmark, and someone else.
They would have played
in the group stage.
Played against each other.
Against each other in a game. Yeah, this could be a one-stop shop podcast.
It could be.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
That is how, you know, some players are connected very, very quickly. Some players aren't. It's just how it happens.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we've got to start at Taribo West. So, if it wasn't for the group of death at the 2002 FIFA World Cup, as it's listed on Taribo West's page, What else was jumping out at you? I think we both made noises around Lothar Matthäus.
Lothar Matthäus, the UEFA Cup final, Plymouth Argyle.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean,
but having read Emil Heskey's page, we realised that lower league football was not his forte. So Plymouth Argyle is just, there's not really much going to it. I mean, I know Josh Widdicombe, the comedian, is a famous fan. That's about all I know about. And oh, who was the manager who was managed Plymouth like 3-4 times? Also managed Southampton for a while. Very English. Initials maybe PS. Grey hair.
Oh, I do know who you. I do know who you mean. He had a bit of a round face.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name? What is his name? That is going to bug me for the rest of this podcast, Josh. How have you? Why have you done that?
We're going to get it. Right, at some point, we'll shout out a name and he'll be like, Phil Skidmore.
It's definitely not Phil Skidmore. No.
Do you know, because I've got Peter Scudamore in my head.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I mean,
was there anything else you wanted to go?
Well, there's a link to England, which I think is going to link to the England national team. So, we can literally go to the 2002 FIFA World Cup, which would actually then list all the fixtures, and we could click on Heskey because we know he scored against Denmark. Done. Well,
I would like to actually see if there's a list of the game where they played against each other. They may have actually faced, because let's have a think of their careers. Is there anywhere else we think they would have met? Anything club wise we think they would have met?
Is there any crossover for European football, Liverpool and Inter or anything?
So we have Liverpool career started in 2000, didn't it?
Yeah.
And they won the UEFA Cup that year, 2000-2001. 2000-2001 was Derby County. So they would have played Premier League football against each other as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they probably would have.
To get that via Wikipedia is you've got to go to maybe a club's season page, which is not great. So there wouldn't have been any international crossover because unless he's got no honours with... Well, he won the League Cup. So winning the League Cup with Leicester would have got him into the UEFA Cup in 2000, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think you go in the. I think that's going the wrong way. I think that's.
Yeah. Let's. Should we have a little look at the 2002 World Cup?
I feel like we have to. Yeah.
We made a semi rule, an advisory rule last week, though, didn't we? In terms of if it's the bleeding obvious, you can't not go for it. You shouldn't.
Yeah, there was some sort of rule. It was. A guidance note, I think, because I remember calling it a guidance note.
Yes,
but I can't remember what the guidance note was.
In the second paragraph, it adds, additionally, West was a member of the team at the 2002 FIFA World Cup. Is that where we're clicking?
Yeah, part of me is quite tempted to click on Group of Death.
That will be very broad and very wide.
Well, unless every World Cup has a Group of Death, and that will be the 2002 FIFA World Cup Group of Death. Because that is specifically says the Group of Death in that tournament.
Yeah, it does say no, it wasn't. Yeah, it's not referenced like it was considered a group of death.
It's just named Group of Death.
Oh, all right, Dave, you win. Why did I always? Oh, this is going to be a absolute black hole. Okay, so now instead of the 2002 World Cup, we're clicking on something that says Group of Death. He made two appearances in the Group of Death as Nigeria finished bottom of the table behind Sweden, England, Argentina. Let's click Group of Death.
I've nailed it, Josh. I've nailed it. I went with my gut instinct, and it is the actual 2002 FIFA World Cup Group F, which was labelled Group of Death. It lists how the group finished, a little paragraph about the group. Weirdly, Argentina failed to qualify. You wouldn't imagine that nowadays, would you? And then it lists every single game that was in here.
With squad lists, no pretty little pitch with them lined up in formation, but we have, so first match was Argentina versus Nigeria. Oh, we've got a great era. So we've got in goal, it's Argentina versus Nigeria. We'll touch on Argentina first, although I'm drawn across to Nigeria immediately looking at their centre of midfield, which is amazing. So for Argentina, we have Pablo Cavallero, we have Mauricio Pochettino, Walter Samuel, Diego Placente as the three-man defence, Javier Zanetti on the right side, Juan Pablo Sorin on the left side. Centre midfield, we have Diego Simeone and Juan Sebastian Verón, Ariel Ortega, Claudio Lopez and Gabriel Batistuta. How does that not get out? And they bring on Keylor Gonzalez, Pablo Aimar and Hernan Crespo. Whoa.
Literally thinking the same thing as you. How does this squad not get out of that group? That's ridiculous.
Crazy, isn't it? So who's managing that? So we got Poch and Simeone as managers. Anyone else?
Well, their manager at the time was Marcelo Bielsa, who is currently a manager.
Wow, that's even worse then if Bielsa's managing that.
Verón is now owner, I think, of Estudiantes in Argentina. That's a crazy good team, that is.
Did you see who was made the president of Benfica yesterday?
No.
It is Rui Costa.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, Rui Costa is, yeah. Benfica's mentioned in a previous podcast. And so, yeah, just a little factoid with current events.
Nice.
So that side did beat Nigeria 1-0. But I mentioned the central midfield. Now, it's only as reliable as what's put down here. But we have Toribio West playing in one of his two appearances in the group, which means that there's a game he didn't play in. We have, okay, oh, F.A. Sodji. Do you remember F.A. Sodji? He played lower league football in England, didn't he? For like Reading? Yeah, it was a Reading time. We have Isaac Okoronkwo. Who did he play for?
Shakhtar Donetsk on Channel 102.
We have J.J. Kotcher apparently on right side of midfield. We have in centre midfield the former Everton centre-back Joseph Yobo. Also, a player who I think is never, ever going to be, should be playing centre midfield is Nwankwo Kanu playing centre midfield. We have, you know, Gabriel Awar on left side, Ogbeche, Julius Agahauer, also of Shakhtar fame. Yeah. And Ikadir was brought on as well as Justice Christopher. So that's a hodgepodge of a lineup if it lined up like that.
I'm taking an action on this Nigeria team for that specific game to find out what formation they actually played, and I'm going to edit that. There's no way they land up in a 4-4-2 with those players. That's ridiculous.
No, but it seems like there has been effort put on, because we have a 3-4-3 for Argentina lined up. So which makes sense. Poch, Samuel, Placente. Well, Placente was a kind of left-sided centre, but yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? But that Nigeria line, I think it might even take watching the game or some other news reports to get that. So I agree, take that action.
I'll take that. That's great.
We'll see how it goes from, and maybe if I don't, it doesn't prove or disprove it, does it? In future matches, if it changes, it might mean that the manager got it completely wrong and changed it, or that one's out.
True. So the second game of the group, we played Sweden, England-Sweden, 1-1, and Sol Campbell got our goal. Alexanderson scored for Sweden. Emil Heskey makes an appearance, left mid, apparently. David Seaman in goal, Danny Mills on right back. Rio Sol at the back, Ashley Cole, David Beckham, Owen Hargreaves, Paul Scholes, Emil Heskey, Darius Vassell partners, Michael Owen up front, and Kieran Dyer and Joe Cole come off the bench, and your mate and mine, Sven-Göran Eriksson, is the manager.
Sven-Göran Eriksson. I don't remember this game. I don't remember Sol Campbell's goal. Do you?
No. I sort of think the only game I remember us playing Sweden against in
Joe
a
Cole.
Competition was Joe Cole's wonder volley, and also Michael Owen's knee collapsing under him.
Oh, is that the same game? I remember because of a Joe Cole goal, the goalkeeper got too much on it to make it a great goal. Got too much of a hand on it. Annoying.
There you go.
Darius Vassell, always better in an England shirt, wasn't he? I actually quite liked him for England.
I didn't. No, I mean,
okay, just me.
I think he was a very similar to Heskey. Like, there must have been better players in that time. Darius Vassell was not. Should never have been World Cup squad for England, in my opinion.
No.
So
true.
But that's my, still probably to date, one of my favourite England kits with the red stripe down the side. Big
really?
Fan of that. Yeah, big fan of that kit. The Sweden team, Henrik Larsson up front, Marcus Allback with him, Lundberg in there, Svensson, Teddy Lucic at the back, Johan Mjälby, Olof Mellberg. So not a bad team, but you'll be disappointed with 1-1 against that team, I think, for England.
Everton did love a Swede for a while, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Nicholas Alexanderson played for Everton, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Tobias Linderoff also played for them.
Yeah.
But I also want to say, it was Coventry, Magnus Hedman, wasn't it? Coventry.
Yeah, that was Coventry, yeah. And then Sweden beat Nigeria in the next one. Henrik Larsson got a brace. And Nigeria got a goal from Aga Howard. Taribo West did play, picked up a yellow card in the 80th minute. Didn't rule him out for suspension, though.
But losing two games, maybe they've just changed it up in the final game.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at those lineups, Josh, they changed the lineup pretty much, not entirely, but quite a lot for that game against Sweden. Nwankwo Kanu came out of the team, which is a surprise. You wouldn't probably see that too much. But, yeah, and then England beat Argentina. Remember this, Beckham's penalty?
You do. Michael Owen went over quite easily on Pochettino's challenge.
Yes. And he blasted it down the middle, didn't he? And then
he did blast it down the middle,
did the big shirt celebration, pulling his shirt, running off. I remember.
Yeah, was that Mohawk? Was he Mohawking
at
the time?
No, it was blonde hair, wasn't it? It was...
The blonde hair,
I think it was blonde hair, yeah. I think it was Mohawk.
Or Nicky Buck? Yeah.
I think Mohawk was the Greece free kick, wasn't it?
No, that was shaved head.
Oh, he scored too many goals. Some other great names that came on in that game for England: Trevor Sinclair, Teddy Sheringham, and Wayne Bridge.
Teddy Sheringham still going?
Yeah,
that's. I mean, I know he went on a long time, but I didn't realise he went on internationally that long.
But yeah, and then Argentina drew with Sweden 1-1. Crespo and Svensson scoring. So hang on, Argentina in this group didn't win. Oh yeah, they won. They beat Nigeria. I can say they didn't win a game, but yeah, they beat Nigeria. And then the final group game: Nigeria v England, 0-0. Emil Heskey starts for England. Taribo West doesn't feature for Nigeria at all. So they didn't play against each other in the tournament, which is I'm a bit disappointed.
Mark. That's a little bit anticlimactic, isn't it? We obviously have the link to Taribo West, but it would have been nice to actually have them facing off against each other.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been very nice. We're in the 2002 World Cup. We've got a bit of time to kill because we've completed the podcast. We've completed this episode. So what do you remember about the 2002 World Cup? Do you have any sort of standout? I mean, I can remember the David Beckham penalty against Argentina as a standout thing, but I had forgotten Teddy Sheringham was there. I forgot Darius Vassell was there. Like,
was this the tournament where Trevor Sinclair got sent out there late on? And it was like part of the 30-man squad got sent back and then got sent over because someone got injured.
Maybe.
Danny Mills is clearly only playing because Gary Neville was injured.
Must have been injured.
Yeah. I remember the South Korean team doing well. Did South Korea get to the semis?
So they beat
upsetting Italy.
Really controversially as well.
Yeah, I mean, South Korea, it was good exposure for South Korea because a lot of South Koreans kind of were more notable in European football. Spurs signed Lee Young-pyo at left back after that, I think.
They did. Yeah. Lee Young-pyo, yeah, okay. And who won it? Who won the 2002 World Cup?
Brazil winning it with the Ronaldo haircut.
Yeah, Brazil won it, and I think it was Ronaldo the fringe haircut.
Haircut against Germany, yeah.
Yeah, I say the fringe haircut, literally just the fringe. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you're a slightly younger generation or something, go check out that haircut because it's brilliant and it's also terrible. But yeah, it was amazing. There's a lot of. I'm looking at the teams we picked, and there's a lot of partnerships from clubs, sort of thing. So. A lot of the time, Nicky Butt and Paul Scholes played central midfield with Beckham. Owen and Heskey were up front together. Campbell and Seam. Was Campbell Spurs? I know that's a sore spot for you.
I think it's probably going to be Arsenal at this point.
Yeah, so you had Campbell and Seaman at the back with Ashley Cole as well, who still would have been at Arsenal then. I mean, yeah, I don't think you see that very much anymore, do you? You don't really see a lot of partnerships at international football.
It's a lot nicer now at international football. It's all kind of mixed in, isn't it? I think there's more clubs to choose. At this time, it was top four even a thing at this point. It was more kind of top two. It was United and Arsenal, wasn't it, really, at this time?
True, yeah, true. It probably was,
Could you look at it, is there a single Chelsea player a single Chelsea player played in any of these matches?
Wayne Bridge? Or was he still
Maybe.
Southampton?
Maybe Wayne Bridge. There's not much, though, is there? There's not much going on for Chelsea because it's pre-Abramovich and pre-money era.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. That's very true. Was Danny Mills at Leeds at this time?
I would guess so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Right, shall we click on Emil Heskey then?
Let's click on Emil Heskey.
That's it.
Here we are, Emil Heskey. So we started the day with Taribo West. clicked one link, being the group of death at the 2002 World Cup, Group F, which turned out to be England, Nigeria, Sweden, Argentina, and it had a list of players. Therefore, we clicked on Emil Heskey, and here we are, completed it in a never-to-be-beaten, unless we somehow managed to pick a page which has the player reference on it, which, as Dave does it on the toilet without looking, maybe happened. But this is, so far, our record move between two players. Emil Heskey, Taribo West.
Now, I think my way of picking a player gives this option at all times. And I think that's, I like that fact that we don't know.
I don't look at the Wikipedia page. I asked it just out of interest, but I normally, if you send me something, I try and think of something obscure. I'm thinking, oh, this is never going to overlap. I did that this time. I tried to think, oh, this isn't the same era. Emil Heskey, Taribo West, they're not playing with each other. Some accusations may be false. Okay, or true. I don't know.
True, yeah.
But I didn't think that this was going to be that easy, especially not actually played. Well, they didn't take the pitch together, England and Nigeria. So what I will do is I'll look and see when Taribo West was at Derby, did he play against Emil Heskey when he would have been at Liverpool? Out of interest. See if they shared the pitch.
Again, it's not an action. It's an inquiry.
No, it'll be a really weird addition to either of their Wikipedia pages saying, Emil Heskey once played against Taribo West.
That's given me a thought, Josh. That's in our editing of Wikipedia that we can do. I think we have to try and say, if we do it in one click or less, less means it's page to page directly, but if we do it in one click, so like this, 2002 World Cup Group of Death, we've got to try and factor a way in to get it to be a no link. Like, literally, on that page, we have to feature Taribo West on Heskey's page, and on West's page, we have to feature Emil Heskey somehow.
Okay, so the link for Taribo West, I think, if he's played against Emil Heskey, and it's somewhat notable, Taribo West, particularly known for his game Derby County versus Liverpool, where he kept Emil Heskey at bay.
Yeah, something like that. That's a fun way to end it, I think, but really easily done, isn't it? That was really, really easy. Right, Josh, I want your name first this week. Planning for the next podcast, I want to receive your name first, and I'm going to reply within 30 seconds of reading the message with my name, and that is a Dave Nichols promise.
Oh my goodness, okay. I will offer that to you.
And we'll see
what we'll come up with next week. That brings an end to this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikipedia pages. You can find us on Twitter @WikiWanderers and on Instagram @WikipediaWanderers. See you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.